I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, truth over your favorite personality. Welcome to this Thursday. Monday through Thursday, we bring you the Daily Journal. So if this is your first time hearing the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal, know that we are here Monday through Thursday bringing you the truth, bringing you principle and constitution, the way current events ought to be delivered, not the way they are today with fake news, political agendas, and just, I think at this point in time, flat out immorality. I have with me my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall. Do you think my assessment of the way our current events are delivered in the mainstream news as being immoral, do you think that's an unreasonable assessment of how they do things?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I didn't want to be too harsh, but I'm thinking it's they're lying. They know they're lying. They're intentionally lying to deceive and manipulate, and in my mind, that's immoral.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
So we have hurricane bearing down on our West Coast, gonna slam into directly like smack dab in the middle of North Carolina. And this thing is huge. Florence is going to impact not only North Carolina, but South Carolina. It's going to reach the winds and the rain, reaching all the way up to Delaware, all the way down to Florida. And I hope everybody is taking this seriously, and I am praying for the people in this path. This is no light subject. We live in Florida, so we know all about hurricanes. And we know that people who live in the path of hurricanes, this is not the first hurricane ever hit by, ever hit North Carolina. People who live in the path of hurricanes ought to be prepared all the time, you know, during hurricane season. So we're always amazed here in Florida when a hurricane is coming and Floridians are freaking out and going to the store and trying to load up on water, and the store is out of water and the store is out of goods. And we wonder, why are you guys waiting to the last minute? You live in Florida, this is hurricane season. This happens. And so I think it's because of the media. They speak out of both sides of their mouth. You have this condemnation, this mocking of people that our society has labeled as preppers, right? So if you're a prepper, then you are a conspiracy theorist, you are a whack job. If you store up food and water for hard times, you're that crazy person down the street. I'm sorry, in these kinds of situations, you live in a path of a hurricane, You need to be a prepper. But instead, we have society mocking people who are prepared. And I just want to ask you, JC, do you think it's because the media is in bed with the government? And if they mock and condemn and ostracize people who prepare for future emergencies, that makes society not prepared for future emergencies and makes them dependent upon government.
Yeah, I always thought it a peculiar thing that how the, or this sort of anti-prepper message. It was just really bizarre. Obviously, being a Floridian, growing up in Florida, I mean, it seemed like a no-brainer to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, we started pastoring the church there in North Florida, and I kind of brought it to the congregation, and there were so many that reacted in that same way, like, you know, well, this is weird, and just they just have been affected by the propaganda in the media. I said, you live in Florida, you don't make preparations. I mean, we have a hurricane every year. Your power goes out for an extended period of time. It's flooding, etc. I think I don't know. It's hard. It would be hard not to make that connection.
Yeah, and so I power out. I mean, we've been out of power for like a week at a time before, we were actually caught without a generator.
Yeah.
And so that was the last time that happened.
Yeah, I don't understand how you discourage people from being prepared. Just really bizarre.
Well, I think I know why you discourage people from being prepared. You discourage people from being prepared so that they become dependent upon the provision of government.
Yeah.
I mean, if people were prepared as they should be prepared, there wouldn't be a cry for FEMA. There wouldn't be all of this federal state of emergency going on. I want to talk to you about what's going on in North Carolina. Just because you're in the quote-unquote South, just because you're not in New York City or in California, doesn't mean that there aren't gun nuts trying to take people's rights. And there's a law firm in North Carolina, the DiGiuseppe. I spell it DiGiuseppe. Probably good.
I would say DiGiuseppe.
DiGiuseppe. Good Italian name, probably. Our friend Victor could probably help us with that. DiGiuseppe Law Firm in Wilmington and Southport, North Carolina, who have brought to my attention, and hopefully to the attention of the government of Leland, North Carolina, that Leland, North Carolina, the town of Leland, North Carolina, which is just west of Wilmington, it's a good swath of you know, pretty good sized little city, Leland, actually issued a state of emergency and evacuation notice in preparation for Hurricane Florence. And according to the law firm, this notice of state of emergency evacuation notice contains the following provision, and I'll read it to you. Effective 9 p.m. on Wednesday, September 12th, 2018, the transportation or possession or the sale or purchase of any dangerous weapon or substance while off one's own premises is prohibited. This restriction does not apply to any individual or group of people who has the responsibility for the preservation of the public's health, safety, or welfare. This restriction does not apply to any law enforcement officer, military personnel assigned for the hurricane, disaster duties, emergency medical personnel, and any other individual or group or individuals whose job employment will assist with the public's health, safety, or welfare. I.e. fuel delivery person, utility repair person, etc. Translation. If you are not working for the government or with the government,
don't be armed.
You cannot be armed. It will be against the law for you to carry a firearm.
it's really a form of martial law if you think about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
I actually heard one of the sheriffs speak the TV, sort of passing on TV last night, and kind of the core of it was, we don't know who's a looter and who's not, so that we can protect, you know,
oh the my public. Goodness. So we've got to lock everybody down so we don't have to look for criminals.
Well, it kind of implies, I mean, if you have your firearm, they're going to, I mean, listen to this guy, you're assumed to be a shooter. So
right.
Basically you're taking your life in your own hands if you're out with a weapon, because they're looking to shoot you.
Well,
I mean, that's kind of what he said.
Yeah, but so are the looters. So right. are the criminals, right? Not only that, I'm thinking from a practical perspective. If I know I'm on, I mean, this is, Leland is not far from the coast. They're going to get a huge brunt of all this rain. If I know flooding is coming, I'm not going to want to leave my firearms at home.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in Florida, they actually, the state of emergency situation actually lifts the regulations on transporting firearms. You don't have to have a permit to transport or to carry a firearm during a state of emergency in Florida, because I guess Florida wants their people to be able to protect themselves, but not only that, they want them to be able to protect their property from hurricane damage. Here's my question to the sheriff, right? You have homes now. These people are not allowed by your government to carry firearms, to secure their firearms from their home and carry them away.
Right.
I mean, not everybody's got a gun safe. Everybody ought to have a gun safe, but not everybody has a gun safe. So
are
now
gun safes waterproof?
No.
I mean, watertight?
No. They're insulated for fire, but they're not the one that we have is not waterproof.
Watertight?
No. And here's the thing. He's worried about looters. What are you going to do when you've got vacant houses that have firearms? You're in North Carolina. There's guns in those houses. And now it's open season for the looters to go into these homes and have access to guns that don't belong to them. They already have criminal proclivities, and they're going to go, right? You're stealing proclivities. Yeah.
It's in their DNA.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, but I want to read to you, when we get back from the break, a portion of this cease and desist letter from the law firm, because you're going to be amazed at the lengths that this government has gone to deprive the people of their right to keep their arms. Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. We're talking about the town of Leland, North Carolina, issuing an order to deprive their people of the right to keep and bear arms. Here's the thought. How many people are going to be, how many people are going to be driving through Leland on their way?
Yeah, I don't. Probably not too many.
Well, but look at.
I get the concept, but.
But look at the path, though. I-140 goes straight through Leland, and then we have 74 that goes through Leland. You got people leaving the coast. They're going to be using this and driving through Leland.
Yeah, maybe.
What's going to prevent them from catching, being caught up in this dragnet? Because Leland is.
Well, I don't think they're. It's not like they're pulling people over and searching and all this kind of stuff. But it's just, it really puts, I don't understand the idea of the restrictions that they're dictating in order to accomplish what they want to accomplish. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, listen to the lengths that they went to. The lengths that they went to absolutely deprive the people of their rights. So
This is the letter from the law firm, and it says the state of emergency notice cites NCGS section 166 as the authority for their prohibitory declaration. However, section 166 does not exist and never did. Chapter 166 did exist at one time, but it was repealed in 1977. So they're not even quoting their sources right. And the law firm says the only existing authority on which this proclamation could be based is Chapter 166A. So you have lawmakers who apparently don't even know their law. You got a city attorney who doesn't even know their law. And the law and the law firm that is demanding the rescind the city rescind this order says that 166A declarations restricting citizens' rights in such a situation must be derived from 166A 19.31, which permits local municipalities to, quote, enact ordinances designed to permit the imposition of prohibitions and restrictions within the emergency area during a state of emergency. But they go on to quote
martial law provision.
Right, but they go on to quote 166A-1931, which provides, the ordinances authorized by this section may permit prohibitions and restrictions upon the possession, transportation, sale, public storage, the sale, purchase, storage, and use of gasoline and dangerous weapons and substances, except that this subdivision does not authorize prohibitions or restrictions on lawfully possessed firearms or ammunitions. Mm-hmm. So the state law
has a protection of your natural rights.
The state law has a protection of your natural rights, and it's the local government who is going contrary to state law. Not only that, contrary to North Carolina Constitution, contrary to
natural law,
and this is why we say all the time, JC, you got to pay attention to your local government. You got to pay attention to this.
I just find the nanny part I always find the nanny part very offensive in these situations. Right, the idea that, you know, oh, well, it's an emergency. You can't do this. You can't do that. I'm not your child.
Right.
I mean, what is this?
I don't need you to protect me from me.
Yeah, you're saying you're not capable of handling yourself in an emergency. Like, you can transport fuel some other time, but not during an emergency. What are you talking about?
Why shouldn't I be able to carry gas if I'm going to be evacuating? How do I know about the availability of gas? I mean, there's so many things going on here.
Yeah, it's really strange. I don't understand the reasoning.
Well, I think it's because we have stopped governing over our government, and we have begun being governed over. We have checked out, and we have relinquished our own responsibilities. We have relinquished our own abilities to a government so that we don't have to be responsible for ourselves anymore. There again, men tear up our constitution, and from every direction we cry revolution, standing together and without permission, soldiers for truth in the war of attrition, the love of our country as our.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Oh, but I'm only a stranger here. I'm a long, long way from my home. And I'm going
I suppose to we could title this the Good News, Bad News story episode. I'm Chris Ann Hall. Welcome back to the Daily Journal. And again, we're praying for all the people in North Carolina. I am thankful for The you say that law firm's name again. I don't want to mess it up, butcher it.
DiGiuseppe?
DiGiuseppe. The DiGiuseppe law firm.
That's my guess.
Yeah, that's our guess. The DiGiuseppe law firm in Wilmington and Southport, North Carolina. Really grateful for their watchful, diligent eye. And I hope this letter was issued on September 11th. And demanded a rescission. There's no publication whether the county actually did that. But here's the thing. Now the county is on notice.
Yeah, now they're open for lawsuits.
They will be sued and they will lose if they enforce this gun ban. And I'm the disappointing thing is what happens to the people who don't know their rights? What happens to the people who don't say, I don't care what my government says. I'm going to protect myself, my family. I'm going to secure my firearms. I'm going to secure my property.
Well, there's plenty of people out there, you know, that are going to submit that, you know, law enforcement says so, and they're just trying to keep you safe. And we hear that all the time.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, nonetheless, that's why what we're doing here is so important. That's why Liberty First University is important, not just for you, because you're a listener. You know these things. You stay educated. You're here because you believe that there are things to protect and that there are limits to government. But you have family members that don't know, right? You have family members that do not know. And so Liberty First University will help you reach them, will help you convince them, will help you convert them to the truth of the value of our natural rights, the limited role of government, and the natural rights of the people, not just simply in your right to keep and bear arms, but there are so many others that we don't simply talk about often enough. There's one that's in the news all the time, though, freedom of speech.
Yeah.
That's always there. That's a big one. Now, they get it wrong most of the time, the media does, right? And even on Fox, they get it wrong. I mean, we watched... I always forget her name. She's not on Fox anymore. She was a judge, and she developed a palsy in her face or had a stroke or something. And I can't ever remember her name.
I don't know.
And this was during the Trump campaign, where he had a rally, and then they had all of the protesters outside the rally, jumping on cars, punching people in the face, burning down stuff. And she made the amazing comment, well, what are the local police department supposed to do? Obviously, Trump supporters have a right to have their rally, but these protesters have a right to their freedom of speech as well. And I remember
implying that the destruction of property was freedom of speech.
Yes. And I remember at that being there at that, I saw it with my own eyes. And I remember my first reaction was like, I had to have heard that wrong.
Well, maybe she didn't mean it that broadly and didn't realize.
No, she repeated herself.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the police? They can't stop what they're doing. This is the right to freedom of speech. And I thought, goodness gracious, woman, you're an attorney for Pete's sakes. Right? And I'm thinking, okay, so you missed con law class, right? Obviously, you missed con law class, because even in con law class, they teach the limits of violence for free speech.
Yeah, maybe she had a bad day.
Well, not only did she miss con law class, but she must have missed criminal law class, too. I don't know. I'm just thinking. But see, here's the thing that saddened my heart. This is an attorney who has the power of the national airwaves. And this is the information that she's spreading.
Missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity. I think not only just simply a missed opportunity, but a terrible deception, not intentional, but a deception among the people that will believe because she's quote unquote an expert. But you were just sort of, I don't even know, how did you come across this story with Dr. Weinstein?
I don't know, but it popped up.
Just surfing, right?
Yeah, it popped up. It was an article somewhere, but it's really amazing. It's sort of it's Alice through the looking glass. It is so bizarre when you see some of this stuff and the things that are happening that have been happening on college campuses.
Yeah,
and these guys, the professors, and all these guys are progressives.
Yeah,
and which is interesting. We're now seeing this more and more because the liberals are becoming victims of their own lunacy.
Oh my goodness! But isn't that what Thomas Paine said? The avidity to punish will come back and get you.
Yeah. So it's Evergreen State College is where
in Olympia, Washington.
Yeah.
Right?
So okay. Olympia or Tacoma, somewhere up in. Up
it's
in Olymp-
I'm Olympia. I'm looking at
yeah.
here. It's
definitely Washington State, Olympia, Washington. So he's a biology professor, evolution guy, you know, teaches all that and whatever. So apparently they had, and the thing is, it's a liberal university.
Right.
They say it is.
Raving
liberal. The professors
liberal.
Say yeah. it is. Mm-hmm. The students say it is. That's what's, first off, is kind of a signal of you got a problem right there.
Mm-hmm.
This is a liberal university. And they admit it, right? It's not supposed to be one or the other. University is a university. Right.
It
shouldn't have a political ideology.
Right.
So, but they're like, oh, and at this liberal university. So they had this policy of black students, I think it was black minority students or black students in particular, students and staff. So anybody who's black, you don't have to come to school today. So they had an absence day so that the white people could feel their importance to the system, right? They're not here, so therefore things don't, you know, work like they ought to, and blah blah blah.
So it's like you have to feel their absence.
Yeah, you have to feel their absence.
See, it sounded like you thought it originally sounded like you said we had to get the black people out so the white people could feel important.
So faulty antecedent.
Right. Okay. So the black people are you stay home today so the white people can miss you.
Correct.
Okay.
And realize you know their how vital they are to this, right? Which is a bizarre thought to me in the first place, right? It's not the color of their skin; it's the fact that the person doing this job is not there.
Right.
Right. If you pick a portion, if you picked a random segment of the population of all colors and said, don't come to work day, you're going to feel their absence.
Yes.
So it's once again that sort of the notion of division. It's not that people are important. You, Mr. Smith, are important.
Right.
It's got to be this
your
race.
Your color isn't important.
It's this racial thing. So, well, then, now he's a progressive, and this is great to him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem is then they flip it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now it becomes you white people, you're not allowed to come to campus. You're banned from campus.
Banned?
Yes, on this day. So now Dr. Weinstein is going, wait a minute. This does not have the same.
This is not the social experiment
right, this
we
is
were
not
doing.
The same. Well, from his point of view, this is not the same ethical moral imperative. It doesn't have the. It's not as ethical philosophically as the way we were doing it before,
uh-huh,
right? So you're not saying, and it was all voluntary or supposed to be voluntary. So you're not saying you don't have to come. Now you flipped it and said you can't come.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, anyway, he comes to work. He and his wife, both professors. And so, and he's saying this is not the same. So then he's targeted as a racist because of this. Right?
Because he showed up to work.
Because he showed up to work.
And he was white.
And he was white. You're not allowed to be here. So these crazy, everybody's seen them. Everybody's seen these videos of these campuses and all these really wacko lefty nut job, these Antifa types and whatever. They patrol the school with baseball bats. And they show up and they basically run this guy off of campus. And then, of course, the problem was And now this is the Alice through the looking glass part. You can find this video. I encourage everyone. You want to see Bizarro World?
We'll post it. How's that?
The president of the university sides with the protesters. But as the president of the university is speaking and addressing the crowd, okay, the students start bullying the president of the university, intimidating and manipulating. They tell him as he's speaking, put your hands behind your back, because moving your hands while you speak is microaggression. Doing like Simon Says, and he has to speak to this student body.
He's actually complying?
Yes, he has to speak to his student body with his hand. This is how crazy these people are. Now, what has been hilarious is to look at the progressives' reaction as they try to grapple with this. There's so many articles.
Let me put this out there real quick. This situation actually happened in 2017.
Yeah.
But we're seeing now a congressional hearing because of the financial assistance that Evergreen gets from the federal government.
Right.
There's a congressional hearing about the campus. Plus, I think Evergreen is petitioning Congress for more money because of what happened. Their enrollment has dropped. They don't have any. They're going bankrupt.
Right.
And they're saying, bail us out.
Which is great. Right? I think I heard Tucker Carlson say, finally a happy ending to one of these stories.
Right.
Right? You're going out of business, which is what should happen. But as I said, it's funny watching these guys wring their hands about it and try to come to grips with this. Because again, this guy's a progressive, and he's basically trying to defend alternative points of ideas. And it's funny, one guy in Medium, there is a Slovakian, writes on this blog called Medium, and he's trying to figure it out. And he says, and he deals with slippery slope, because I think on a level he realizes this is where your philosophy leads, but he doesn't want you to think that.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So this is why James Madison, well, the founders all said this, James Madison said that that democracies will implode throughout history, and democracies will, he said, burst into flames upon themselves. Because this is what mob rule looks like.
Yeah.
When you start enforcing rules on other people, then all of a sudden they come back and are forced on you.
And it's funny, again, reading these guys trying to wrestle with this, and he's using the term democracy in defending the idea that we ought to have these alternative points of views and we ought to be able to tolerate extreme views. So, you know, they don't have a clue what they're talking about. It's so incoherent. Like, hello, this is democracy. This is what you're
hello.
Looking at. This is what you've been teaching. This is what you breed.
You're living in a democracy.
Yeah, so
the consequences of democracy.
So now they're upset that, and they're saying,
give us money.
They're saying the left is not monolithic. So these radicals don't represent all progressives. And so that's what's funny to me. This kind of, I file this under, you made your bed, now it's time to lie in it. That's where I file this.
But he's kind of right, because not all liberals are like this. So
no, it's true. But what my point is, so I would say it like this. Not all lefties have arrived at that point yet, right? When they say not all of us are like that, I say not all of you have gotten that extreme. But what you teach, This is the destination.
Yeah,
and that's why that's why the guy writing on Medium says, you know, well, slippery slope is invalid. He doesn't tie it to the argument. It's kind of stuck in there, random.
Here's the good news.
Because he knows.
This is not happening in every campus, because just the University of Chicago in 2016, before this actually happened, sent out a welcome letter to their students from the dean of students. His name is John J. Ellison. Imagine that, John J. Ellison. And it's a welcome letter to the students. It says, "Welcome and congratulations on your acceptance to the college at the University of Chicago. Earning a place in our community of scholars is no small achievement, and we're delighted that you selected Chicago to continue your intellectual journey." And you're thinking, Chicago, oh my goodness, what is going on here? And the letter says, once here, you will discover that one of the University of Chicago's defining characteristics is our commitment to freedom of inquiry and expression. And this letter is so amazing. Now, he goes on to say, you're not free to harass and threaten other people. But he says, members of our community are encouraged to speak, write, listen, challenge, and learn without fear of censorship. He says, you will find that we expect members of our community to be engaged in rigorous debate, discussion, and even, oh my goodness, disagreement. And then he says, at times this may challenge you and even cause discomfort. And look, listen to what Dean Ellison says in this welcome letter to his freshmen. He's like putting them on notice, right? He says, our commitment to academic freedom means that we do not support so-called trigger warnings. We do not cancel invited speakers because their topics might prove controversial. And we do not condone the creation of intellectual safe spaces where individuals can retreat from ideas and perspectives at odds with their own. He says, fostering the free exchange of ideas reinforces a related university priority, building a campus that welcomes people of all backgrounds. And I thought that was really interesting because, you know, Yale offers a similar welcoming speech. You don't expect safe spaces here. And I think the dean said something really important. He said, it is the lack of safe spaces that actually promotes diversity, which is the opposite of what the liberals are teaching. The opposite. We need safe spaces because we have diversity. No, no, no. You don't need safe spaces, so you'll maintain diversity. God bless you guys. This is Thursday, so we will see you again on Saturday for our double dose.
I received. Let me know.